Now we're going to talk to Joseph Finder about book number 2 in this talented author's popular series. Welcome, Joseph. Thanks so much for stopping by the Book Report.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
All right. Tell us a bit about Buried Secrets.
All right. I guess the easiest way to describe this is my continuing hero, a guy named Nick Heller, who's a private spy, now lives in Boston, and he is asked by an old family friend to help find his daughter. And the family friend is also a hedge fund titan, billionaire, and it turns out that the daughter has disappeared. Well, Nick says, this is a missing persons case. It's not, you know, it's for the FBI, not for me. The father says, I can't cooperate with the FBI because they're trying to nail me for all kinds of criminal activity. I need you to go and find my daughter the way you do it without involving law enforcement. So it starts off like that and basically becomes a quest story, a kind of an adventurous story in which Nick is trying to find out the truth about where the daughter might have gone and the truth about her father, who he decides is actually concealing something really big. So it's sort of a family, it's a thriller combined with a family drama.
Is there such a thing as a private spy?
Yes, there are. And this is one of the things that I found very exciting when I decided to write one series character. I didn't want to do an FBI agent, didn't want to do a CIA agent or a homicide cop, because I sort of feel that those have been done by a lot of writers. And I wanted my own thing, and I had a friend who was in the CIA. I met him in London, and he told me that he was, in fact, working on his own, for himself, as a private spy in private intelligence. And it turns out that a lot of people have left the CIA and other agencies to go on their own and work for private citizens, corporations, politicians, even other countries. And they basically use the same set of skills that they had, that they drew upon when they were with the CIA or whatever. So there really are, it's kind of a growing group. People don't know much about it. But it's, to me, fascinating because they are like James Bond characters.
So Mr. Hedge Fund's name was Marshall Marcus in the book. Was he modeled after Bernie Madoff?
You know, I honestly, this is the truth now. I came up with an idea for a hedge fund guy who is accused of running a huge kind of Ponzi scheme. And I sent it to my editor. Now, I have the email to prove this. I sent it to my editor a few days before the Madoff case was announced. So I was on to this before Madoff. It's not modeled after Madoff. It's modeled after a kind of a hypothetical, like what if, which I think is a lot more interesting than what Bernie Madoff is. And the puzzle is we don't know who this guy really is and what he's doing. So that's kind of part of the buried mystery in the book, is Nick trying to find out, is this guy another Bernie Madoff, or is he doing something kind of more sinister? Even more sinister, I should say.
Now, in doing the preparation for this book, you did something pretty unusual. The girl that's missing, without giving too much away, she's been buried alive. So tell us your experience.
Yes, well, being buried alive is, you know, Stephen King said once that you want to write about your greatest fears, and that will make them, other people, connect with them, make them scary for other people. I wanted to write about a character who is buried alive, and I wanted to know what that was like short of actually being buried alive myself. So I did half of it, really. I went to a funeral home, and I asked them to lock me inside a casket. And I have to say it was not easy to find a funeral home that was willing to do this, but I got one, and they locked me in there, and our deal was that I would sort of let them know when it was time for me to get out of there, when I couldn't take it anymore. They closed the lid. They'd lock it down. I could hear the kind of eek, eek, eek as they're locking the thing. And at first I thought, this is really comfortable. And then pretty soon I started feeling kind of woozy, and I realized, I'm losing oxygen. I'm actually going to pass out. And that's when I began to panic. And I kind of banged on the lid of the casket. And they had gone somewhere, I guess. They didn't expect me to get out, want to go out at this point. So I had to, I mean, there was a good 5 or 7 minutes of my thinking, where the hell are they? So that was a kind of a scary little twist to that. But, you know, the interesting thing about doing research like this is you're able to describe the experience in a way that really feels genuine to people because you've been through it. You know the details, the sensory details that you can't read about or you can't Google. So, you know, I love research. I'm not willing, for example, to get shot in the leg if I want a character to be shot in the leg. But this is about as far as I would go, and probably I would never do it again, frankly, not when I'm alive.
Do you sleep with a nightlight now?
No, but that really, I am claustrophobic, and that was sort of facing down one of my greatest fears, but all in the name of research, you know.
Well, actually, I love your writing credo, reverse, reveal, surprise. Talk about that.
Well, every scene in every book has to move the story forward. And I sort of came up with this formula, and I have it hanging above my desk that says reverse, reveal, or surprise. That you've got to, each scene has got to change the expectations of the reader, twist things around like a kaleidoscope, or reveal something very interesting or exciting. And that's what makes a thriller a page-turner. That's what makes you want to keep turning the pages, is if there's something always going on to sort of defeat your expectations and to sort of get you more and more further engaged in the story. So basically my rule is whether a chapter stays or goes when I'm editing, did it do one of those things? And if it didn't, it's gone.
When I was preparing for this interview, I saw you had once been asked the difference between a mystery, a suspense novel, and a thriller, and I loved your answer. Can you share that again?
Well, there's always kind of a debate about what the difference is between a mystery and a thriller, and the mystery is a whodunit, and a thriller is a howdunit. Okay, the mystery is about figuring out who the guilty party is, who killed the butler, who is blackmailing so-and-so, who is the rapist, whatever it is, finding out who. In a thriller, usually we know who the bad guy is, but we're watching how he's going to do something and will he get away with it. So the focus is on the process and the experience a lot more in a thriller, which is why I think thrillers are far more likely to be made into movies, because they're more viscerally exciting than mysteries, which, though they can be terrific, are much more in the head, much more cerebral.
So speaking about movies, are there big screen plans for Nick?
Well, right, there's a movie right now being shot of one of my books called Paranoia, with Harrison Ford and Gary Oldman and Liam Hemsworth. Nick, I'm not yet ready to sell the rights. We've had some offers. My feeling is I want to get this guy more established. I want there to be more of a following. I sort of want to get more adventures out there. And when there is kind of a critical mass, a kind of a following for Nick Heller, at that point I think I'll sell it. Before that, I'm concerned that the movie might not do it right.
The audiobook was narrated by Holter Graham. Were you involved in the choice, or were you involved in the production of that at all?
No, nothing at all. No involvement. My publishers decided they wanted to do a different voice for the Heller series, and they wanted someone who they thought would do Nick Heller in a fresh and interesting way. And you know, the funny thing is, I don't like listening to my audiobooks. It just kind of drives me crazy. I listen and I sort of think how I could have done it differently, right? But I heard a chunk of Holter Graham reading it, and I thought, he has the voices down. He's got this great way about him, and he's good at doing women.
What's next for you? Are you already working on your next book?
Yes, I am. I'm in the funny thing is, this has never happened to me before. I'm halfway done with the new Nick Heller, And then a few months ago, I put it down because I had a standalone idea set in Boston that I had to do. So when this is done, which should be fairly soon, I'll go back to Nick Heller, and then I'll have basically two books. And it's up to my publisher to figure out how to publish it. You know, I just provide the content.
And it's great content. Readers, I brought the book up to the Cape Cod conference with me, and my brother-in-law read it in a day and a half.
Is that right?
That's the truth.
I love hearing that, you know. There's a saying that, you know, easy reading is hard writing. And to make a book really fly by, you got to know what you're doing, you know. You got to put a lot of work into it. So I used to think, wait, it took me a year and you read this in like 12 hours or 20 hours or whatever. Now I think that's actually a compliment. That's what we want. That's what we're aiming for.
Absolutely. It's one of the best books I've read this summer. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. It's great talking with you.